Good evening. Good to see all of you here. I trust you've had a good week in the Lord. And glad to see the bus riders in tonight. Even with us on spring break in Orange County, we have still a good crowd. If you rode my bus tonight, you'll have to ride back with Brother Scott. The brakes went out on mine, so you'll have to ride back with Brother Scott. So remember to come straight to the door when we're over with the church service tonight. We'll be in Matthew this evening when we start. Matthew chapter 5. If teenagers, if you have any of the cards, the cards that y'all were selling for a fundraiser, if you have any of those left and you're not going to try to sell them, please get those turned in. If not, get the money turned in to Miss Kim today, or at least by Sunday. Today or by Sunday. And men, if you're going to the men's retreat, don't forget this Sunday to get in the fee for the trip, $65, $40 for the advance and $25 for the hotel each. If you can do that, that'd be great. That's this Sunday. All right. I'm going to talk about responsibilities of believers tonight just for a little bit. It's good to have visitors with us tonight. Hope they enjoy themselves tonight with the services. We go through the Word of God. I don't know about anybody that's still sick. Probably still a few out with sicknesses. So be in prayer for them. We live in a day and age where people are not cared for personal responsibilities. I mean, nobody even believes they're responsible hardly anymore. I mean, you talk with them and they don't even... they don't think they have any responsibilities whatsoever, and I think that's where a lot of our troubles come from. It's just their rights, I guess. I'm not sure what's causing all this, but there is a thing of personal responsibility. You are responsible for your actions, whether good or bad. It's just that simple. And, you know, as for Christians, I want us to understand a few. To be honest with you, I could have filled up four or five different pages, but I only pulled out about seven of these that we'll look at tonight. But we do have responsibilities as believers in Christ. We really do. As His children, we have responsibility. It's no different than your family structure, or should be in your family structure. You've got people at home, and everybody's got responsibilities for certain things, you know, to, what they're to care for. Things they should do. If you don't, then I don't know how you'll operate, because if we didn't have some sort of a little structure about who was responsible for what and for this one or that one, we'd be in big trouble. Like in the house, I tell you, we've got to have a responsibility. Who's responsible to get what kid at what place? To be honest, our kids will be left somewhere. Sometimes it's my wife's responsibility, sometimes it's mine. So we all have responsibilities. And in just the regular everyday life, we have responsibilities that we are, things that we are responsible for, and if they don't happen, they just don't get cared for. You know, so I want you to know this for you. I want to help you out just a little bit with our responsibilities. It won't be long, because Brother Scott's bus is extended, his route's extended now. A little bit longer, so I won't keep you long, but I do want you to understand this. Nobody can keep your testimony for you. That's your responsibility. Nobody. Your husband cannot keep your testimony up. Your wife, she cannot keep your testimony up. Husband, you are responsible for your own. Now, I do know this, that the Bible talks about a good woman, that if you have one, that you don't have to even worry about things, that she'll care for things, that she'll actually end up making you look a lot better than you are. Amen. Most men marry way, way above themselves. I know I did. Well, I tell you, my wife, If it was measured out, she'd probably get about 15 of me for my work. I tell you, because she is way above. I mean, she keeps things just going like a machine around the house, and I guess it has to be that way. I'm doing one thing, and that's all I can handle. If I'm hanging a picture, Don't ask me to think about if it's straight or not. We'll worry about that later. I'm putting a nail somewhere right now. We're just there. But we have responsibilities, and we're going to look at that tonight. Matthew chapter 5 is where we're going to begin. Now, of course, this is after you're saved. So if you're not saved tonight, let me tell you this. The only way you're going to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. No other way. You can keep these 7 responsibilities that we're going to talk about tonight, and you'll wind up in hell just by keeping these. Good people, good moral people, wind up in the devil's hell because they've never trusted Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. Good church members have ended up there too. My wife had to come to the realization that being embarrassed in front of folks, way back in her 20s, she was a good church member. But if she hadn't come to realize that when she was in her 20s that she needed Jesus, and it was just something that she had followed a bunch of kids down at Bible school and just didn't want to be left out and didn't get over that embarrassment, today my wife would have passed away. Before that time, she would have died. Now, she's saved. She trusted Jesus and Him alone. She got over that embarrassment. So if you're not saved tonight, you need Jesus. You do. And then you get to work, get busy, you get to doing these things. And boy, I tell you, it's a good thing. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. It is a good thing to keep the commandments of God. Matthew 5, verse 13. The Bible says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." Dear friend, it is our responsibility as God's children to keep the old paths. It's our responsibility to be obedient to the Word of God. It is our responsibility to get into the Word of God like the Berean church did there and study and search out the Scriptures to see if things are true. It's our responsibility to be the salt of the earth. We cannot blame lost people and lost companies and lost corporate conglomerates. We cannot blame a whole bunch of city councilmen who know not God for the way things are. We are, and it's our responsibility, God's children's responsibility, to be the salt of the earth. We're to preserve that which is right, and that which is in order, and that which is according to Scripture. That is our God-given responsibility. It is not lost people's jobs to do. It's not lost people's jobs to keep order, in a biblical sense as we know it. Lost people have been doing what lost people have been doing since Adam and Eve failed. Going contrary to God. And let me tell you something. The Bible says evil men shall wax worse and worse. It's been going downhill a long time. A long time. The world has been going downhill a long time. But the Bible still says there is a narrow way and there is a broad way. And the only way we're to preserve things that are right in order, a biblical fashion, biblical order, landmarks of Scripture, landmarks of principle, is that we as God's people, we say, hey, it is my responsibility, the salt of this world, of the earth, and if I'm not being that, the Bible says here, and it's very plain, that if we're not salty enough, scripturally wise, and biblical wise, and then thenceforth, it says they're good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be trodden under the foot of men. Boy, that's tough. Now, this is our responsibility. There is no room in our life, dear friend, to say to him and haw on straddling the fence on biblical issues. Him and hawing on biblical issues ain't going to get us nowhere. We're no good to nobody. We're no good to God. We're no good to the lost people. We're no good to the saved people. We're living life for ourselves and very selfishly. We are the salt of the earth. And he doesn't finish there. Not only that, he says in Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. This is our responsibility. It's our responsibility to be the salt of the earth and be the light of the world. We got folks that don't know God at all that stand up stronger about the Ten Commandments being taken down everywhere and abortion, stand on abortion, and things of that nature. We got people who stand stronger on those issues that know not God than a lot of Christians, a lot of churches, a lot of pastors. Got men of God that will never mention that abortion's wrong in their church at all. Men of God that will not mention that fornication is wrong at all. You got preachers that will not talk to folks about being and walking godly and upright because they're afraid that they're going to bring offense to someone and make somebody upset, and they might leave the church. And this is what they say: they can't learn if they're not here. I've got men of God that I have counseled with, dear friend, that have no problem letting people join in their church that are living shacked up. How in the world can we be the light of the world and the salt of the world? How can we be the salt of biblical marriage if we don't handle it right inside the house of God? How can we be the light of the world if our light is dim and hid, and it's not our light that should shine anyway? It's the light of God. I remember traveling in Greece, coming back down from northern part of Greece, coming down out of Albania and down through the backside of Thermopylae and around the other side of the mountain off of the main road. And when we got off the main road, it was already getting really dark. It was probably about an hour and a half after sunset. And when I got off that main road, boy, got back there, there was no lights, no street lights. Just back in the backside of the mountains, and got down in those crevices, down in there. And then you look way on the other side of the valley, you'd see a 3, 4, 5 little lights. And, you know, they'd be out there spread. And the closer you get there, man, there's a city here. There's a town here. There's life here. Do you understand? There's folks way out there off the path of God. And if they don't come seeing light in your life, where in the world are they going to see it? They don't see any light shining in out of your life. How in the world could they ever be? Like it says here, ye are the light of the world. It's not only that, it's our responsibility, the light of the world. It doesn't stop there. A city that is set on the hill, it cannot be hid. This is our responsibility. We're to be the salt of the earth. We're to be the light of the world and to be a city on a hill. Well, preach, that's all good. That's pretty. And I like the analogies and the picture that God's making there. But that's just really not too clear. I thought we'd get to that point. I really did, because we tried to explain everything away. So I started digging some more. Go over to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians. It's amazing if we find a piece of portion of Scripture that brings conviction to our heart, that we can find some explanation why it really doesn't fit the moment. God was aware of people and aware of how it would be, so he made sure he covered it really, really painfully obvious. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 1. We'll move right on down and just see this. So Matthew 5:13-14 said you'd be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, the city on a hill. That's our responsibilities. Look what it says here. Do we begin again to command ourselves? commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you as letters of commendation from you? Verse 2, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, listen what it says, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. We are an epistle. We're not only saved, dear friend, but we are a written epistle, written by God upon our lives, that men and women and those around us will look at and they will see. And you know what it says? And such trust, verse 4, have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. You know why our sufficiency of God is? Because in and left ourselves, the book that we would write before men would be undiscernible. How do you know that, preacher? Look at all the quote Bibles that we have. They're undiscernible if you go studying through them. They lead a path that does not lead to Christ. They take away the blood, they take away the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, and this is what men have come up with. They call themselves religious books. They call themselves Bibles. Taking out 60,000 words in some of them. Omitting complete scripture. Whole passages, verses gone, just disappeared. This is what men do when they say they're doing good. When your sufficiency is yourself, dear friend, you are left like a slice of Swiss cheese. Holes all in your life. And I'm going to tell you, people find fault. Oh, my soul. They find the fault, Brother Chris. I mean, Lord, and if you're... If men and women are looking at our lives and they're going to be reading our lives and open, like it says here, an epistle manifestly declared to be epistle of Christ, ministered by us, says verse 3, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in the table of stone, but in the flesh and tables of the heart. If men and women are reading our lives, and it's our responsibility to live Christ-like lives, what in the world would they... Where are they going to end up by just reading our lives? Oh, God, help us. It shakes me to my bones. I mean, down to the core of my bones when I think about that. When I think if some... And it, preacher, it's not fair. I didn't say this was fair. I'm telling you what is. God knew it was going to be this way. That's why He wrote it, so we would be aware of it. That's why the Bible says, be ye holy, for He is holy. Because God understands that they're going to be looking at our lives and looking at our testimony and looking at who we are. And it is our responsibility to have a Christ-honoring testimony with everything we do. Preachers, are you sure that's in there? Whatsoever you do. That's what the Bible says. Whatsoever. We got to get to the point where we understand something, dear friend, that our secular time is not categorized out of God's eyes. We done cataloged our lives into so many segments. I mean, we got work here, we got hobbies here, we got religion here, we got, family time here and sports time here. Boy, we got all these categories, and for some reason or another, we think we can just, there's certain areas that God is just not able to see or touch. That's not so, dear friend. In everything in our life, God is... We are responsible to God for. I, listen, I wished it was like the way some of us think. I wished it was the only time that I had to worry about God being in my business when I come up here in this pulpit. Well, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Y'all see me 3 times a week up in the pulpit. All I have to be responsible for to God is these 3, but that's not how it works. From sunup to sundown, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, for my entire life upon this earth, God's involved. God was involved even before I was saved. How much more so should He be involved in my life now that I am His child? Well, I like it when my kids are around. Even whenever things are not going good, not going, up to snuff and up to par, like families have squabbles, they're there, when they come around and they're around me, maybe two of them had a squabble here or there, or maybe we've had words here or there about something, and when they come around, I just love when my family's around. Even when we're having disagreements, I'm glad they're around. Something about having family around. How much more do you think it is with God when He says, "You are my child. You call me Abba Father." So much more He wants to be around us, day by day, hour by hour. That's why He says, "Forsake not your assembly together as the manner of some is." Because He wants to be around us. He wants you to know that He cares for you. Listen, we're to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, city set on a hill, and an epistle read of men. That is tough responsibility. But we understand this is what we're responsible for. It kind of helps us. I think some of us get to the point in our lives that we don't even know if Jesus is coming back today or not, next week. Well, it's been so long. I've been saved for a long time. I've been hearing preach on it for a long time. Does it really matter? He says, look, it matters. Why does He want us to look? Because if we're looking for that coming, it keeps us aware of what we are doing. I don't know about you, but I tell you, when my wife and I joined the Army, went off over to Fort Stewart, Georgia. I married my wife. She was young. She was 18. I got married on the 19th, went off to the Army on the 20th, so that was pretty good for mother-in-law. She said, that's got rid of me for 3 months. But it come to a point in time when I got done with AIT and basic training. I come back to Mississippi. I loaded up my wife. We got in that B-2000 Mazda, and we drove over to Fort Stewart, Georgia. Long drive. Lord help, I didn't realize how far Florida was from Pensacola to Jacksonville. We'd come all the way across, but that's a long way. Got all the way out there, got home, got to the base, and they told me because of my rank, I wasn't able to get a house on post, so I had to get on a trailer park, got settled in that trailer park. Come the very next weekend, boy, my wife's, I miss Mama. I said, what? 1 week's all we last. The next weekend, Brother Jim, we got off at 5 o'clock. Reverend went down. They lowered that flag. I stopped this salute. My wife, we drove straight to Mississippi. Straight. And then we stayed there all the way till Sunday. We left enough time for her to drop me back off at 4:30 in the morning at PT. I'm at it. Her mom was so surprised, so excited when she walked in, but things weren't right. Things weren't in order. This was left, that was left. When my mother-in-law knew we were coming, and she had warning, you know what she did, Sister Barbara? She got everything in order. Dishes washed, clothes, beds made. She was excited that we showed up and snuck in on her. But she preferred to know that we were coming so she could have a meal prepared. That's how it's supposed to be with us. If the Lord would surprise me right now, I'd say, even so, Lord Jesus, come now. Take us now. But I want to be looking and watching and making sure my life is... I don't want to be fighting with my wife whenever the Lord calls me home. finishing the argument up in the air? How embarrassing would that be? I don't want the wrath going down on I don't want to be caught, you know, yelling at my children or them yelling at me, having a bickering match back and forth when God comes. You know what keeps us from having all that? We're looking for His coming. Epistle read. Do people read that Jesus is coming soon in your life? Are you, you're putting things in order? Or your house is just, you know, some of you know what I'm talking about. How many of you got kids got dresser drawers that's got tongues and guts and all kinds of things hanging out? Pants leg hanging out, a shirt hanging out, that not in order. That's how many of our lives are looking. Our dresser drawers are, everything's hanging out. Let me get them things folded up neat. So people can read about Jesus in our life. Look with me over in John 15, 8. John 15, 8. You know what helped us do this here in John 15, 8? To be a fruit bearing. It's our responsibility to bear fruit. So we're the salt of the earth, light of the world, a city on a hill, epistle of Christ, read of all men, and the Bible says we're to be fruit bearing. John 15 and 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. That's our responsibility, dear friend, to bear fruit. It is our responsibility to allow the Holy Spirit of God to work through us and in our life that we may bear fruit for Christ. Through soul winning, maybe soul gets saved through your testimony. You know how all that happens? Because we're being responsible with all this other. Salt of the earth, salt light of the world, city of the hill, people reading our life. And all that. What about spiritual fruit? You know, just the fruit of faithfulness, godliness, contentment, long-suffering, forbearance. Does this people see these in our life? It is our responsibility to bear fruit. And not, I mean, it's pretty strong there. He says, much fruit. And then he said, this is evidence. So shall ye be my disciples. By the fruit you bear. It's your responsibility to bear fruit. Are you bearing fruit? Are you faithful? I mean, we've got tracts out here all over the place. You're passing out tracts, inviting people to church. You spend time at opportunity when you can to share Jesus with somebody. It's our responsibility. Look real quickly, Isaiah 43:10. And I know what the devil's going to whisper in your ear whenever I read this verse. He's going to whisper, that's Old Testament. I already know. But whenever he gets done whispering, lean over to him and whisper back, Acts 1:8. That's New Testament. Isaiah 43:10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. And my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. And Acts 1:8, ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's what it says. So when the devil whispers, that's Old Testament, go over there to Acts 1:8 and whisper it right back to him. It's your responsibility to be a witness for the everlasting God. The great I am. The one who's done so much for us. He's done so much that we could, that we couldn't begin now and for a thousand years pay it back, Brother Ray. Just could not. Our witness. Last one, John 13:16. John 13 and verse 16. So we're to be the salt of the earth, light of the world, city on a hill, epistle of Christ. We're to be a fruit-bearing branch. He's the main tree, the vine, and we're the branches. We're to be his witness. John 13 and verse 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. It's our responsibility to be a servant of God. Well, I don't know how that's done. I challenge you, dear friend, to study the life of Christ. He was a servant. Just read through the book of Mark. You'll see the servant of servants. I challenge you to emulate your life like Christ served others. It's our responsibility to be the servant. He says here, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Not a one of us has a spot higher than our Lord. And if our Lord served in such a way, that's how we're to serve. We can't get to the point, so, well, I wouldn't, I'm above that. I could not do that. There's nothing our Lord didn't do. You think about it, dear friend. He healed lepers. I mean, that is touching some of the most infected and being around some of the most affected, poisonous, contagious, skin-eating, flesh-eating disease of its time. And he was around it. And he healed it. Sometimes I think that we as Christians, if we're not careful, we allow ourselves to believe that we are not, I don't know if able, but we're not able, our sufficiency of Christ. We're not capable. I'm just looking for the best words. Maybe we allow the sins of sinners to magnify themselves in such a way that we think we're better than them. I don't know what it is. But we got to be around lost people, dear friend, if we're going to make a difference. We got to be willing to serve one another as our Lord served. I'm not advocating washing no feet. But that was a message in servanthood, not a doctrine, to be kept, to show that we are humble. But I am saying, we need to be willing, if the time arises, that we would wash somebody's foot. Feet. That we wouldn't go down to the lowest of the low. And we would help those that are in need of great help. That we'd be careful as people come to our church that we don't have a respecter of persons, that one would be asked to have a special place because of the attire and another would be asked to have another place because of the attire. We've got to be careful. It's our responsibility to be servants. And none of us are greater than our Lord. None of us. We need to realize we've got some personal responsibilities. When you serve people, dear friend, they figure out real quick you care about them. They really do. All right, I'm going to pray, guys. And when I pray and get finished, I want the bus riders to come over quickly. I went a little bit longer than I thought. I'm already up to 8 o'clock. So don't be fooling around. Come quickly so Brother Scott can get you. I won't give out no candy tonight, so don't come up to me. You got to get on the bus, okay? So Brother Scott, if you want, while I'm praying, you can meet him down here. Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the love that you've shown us. Pray, God, that you'd help the bus, Lord, as it goes back. Give Brother Scott a speedy trip to get all the kids home safely. Thank you, Lord, for their willingness to come out on a Wednesday night, a school night. And I pray, Lord, that you'd please help us get the other brake line fixed on the other one quickly so we don't have this problem in the future. Bless, Lord, our time tonight as we go home. Keep us safe. Lord, bless our church. Help us, Lord, to realize